invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 3. And beginning with verse 1 is where we'll begin our study in just a few minutes. Good to have you here. And especially for our guests, we're very honored to have you today. Back in 1989, I moved to begin local work with this church. And we were meeting over on River Road in a little building that I call a matchbox. And there were several churches that had fellowship with me in the gospel in that beginning. And among those churches was the church in Sinton. And I know Brother Bill Moore had a great deal to do with that. And it's good to have Brother and Sister Moore with us. And also Brother and Sister LaRue with us today. And for the rest of you who are our guests, we're very honored also to have you. Appreciate your presence and being with us today. I want to read beginning in Genesis chapter 3. The text begin with verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, 'Where are you?' And so he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' And then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' And so the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, You shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return.' And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam his wife, Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And so he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Have you ever been maybe on a camping trip to a place that is secluded, that is away from all of the noise and distractions of this world, with nothing to do but simply enjoy the creation of God? to feel that cool mountain breeze, to hear the water as it, the stream as it comes down, roars down the mountainside. Or on a clear night to look into the skies and simply observe and to enjoy the marvelous expanse that God has made. And then wondered what it must have been like in the Garden of Eden. What God had intended for man. And yet, in that paradise, man sinned. And when man sinned, that changed everything. You see, our world is not a utopia. San Marcos is not a paradise. It's a good place to live. In fact, even Creed, Colorado, one of my favorite places in all of the earth, is not a paradise. In fact, a few years ago when we were there, we found out that two of the graduating class had been killed in a car wreck because of alcohol. You see, sin messes up. Sin changed this world. And the book of Genesis is called a book of beginning because it is a beginning of time, a beginning of man, a beginning of marriage, but was also the beginning of when man transgressed God's law. And because of that, the sin changed everything. What did it do? Well, first of all, in the Garden of Eden, we number one find that man lost his innocence and thus became guilty. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, the record says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." No guilt, no shame, complete innocence. On my bedroom wall, just beside my bed, Nancy has posted some family pictures. And on that wall are the pictures of my son and my daughter, my two children, when they were very young. And there have been times in which I looked at those pictures and wished that I could go back to the time in which there was nothing but innocence. Not any of the challenges, not any of the defilements, not any of the impurities of this world. Just go back to when they were nothing but innocent. I know a lot of parents probably have that same sentiment. I love my children, but the reality is that they entered a sinful world and sin changed that. And thus we notice that in the seventh verse of the text that we read a minute ago in the third chapter, it says, "The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam and said, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, and I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?'" Adam transgressed God's law. A law that was clearly stated. And when Adam and Eve broke God's law, now they are feeling guilty and they are hiding from the presence of God. Over in the Psalms, you want to hold your place and turn to the 32nd Psalm. There is a marvelous and wonderful psalm of confession given to us by David in Psalm 32. But in that psalm, David describes just how he felt before he was willing to acknowledge his sin. In verse 2 beginning, he said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You know what it's like to have a drought? I mean, walk out the side of my house and that black dirt, and there are cracks in it that are big enough that you could just about fall in. And the psalmist said, before confessing my sin, it was like living in a desert. My vitality and spirit had turned into the drought of summer, but then I acknowledged my sin and you were willing to forgive. There's Adam and Eve in the garden, made in the image of God, with nothing to do but to enjoy the creation that God has given them to enjoy. But they chose to shake their fist in the face of God and to rebel against His commandment. Now God is looking for them. And all God wants is a confession from them. But they're trying to hide from God. You see, sin is very appetizing, but it's not as good the morning after. Because then comes the hangover. In the moment, it seems irresistible. But now, Adam and Eve are hiding from the presence of God. And the world will never again be the same. Because Adam and Eve chose to reject God's commandment. They chose to sin, and it brought guilt. Sin not only changes innocence into guilt, but it turned a blessing into a curse. What it must have been like in that garden. God gives us a glimpse of that in the second chapter. In the second chapter, beginning with verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From there it parted, it became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, and where there is gold. And the gold of the land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, and He put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And there was the man, and finally, his wife Eve. And one can feel the exhilaration, as Adam said in verse 23, when God brought that creature to him, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Given this wonderful garden, just to enjoy the fellowship of God and the companionship with one another. But sin turned the satisfaction into dissatisfaction. In Genesis 3, you enter the deception of Satan. The question in verse 3, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Has God really said that? And Eve said, well, you know, there's that one tree over there, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God has said, and when we eat of it, we will surely die. And the serpent said in verse 4, not so. You will not surely die. You see, God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so when the woman saw that it was delightful, that it was good for food, that it was desirable to a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he also ate. And so Eve chose to sin, and so did Adam. You ever tried to play the blame game? Be honest. We all have, from time to time. Well, you know, If you grew up in the church where they grew up, you'd understand why they're spiritually weak. Well, if you had the parents that they had, you would understand why they are where they are spiritually. Oh, well, you know, we'll have to excuse him because, after all, he was the only teenager in the whole church. Humbug. I knew a young man in Tucumcari that was one of the finest spiritually minded young men I've ever known, and he was the only teenager in the whole church. Well, you know, it's the, you know, we want to blame the preacher's kid maybe sometimes, or the elder's child, or whatever it is. But we want to play the blame game. But in the Garden of Eden, there is no room for that. But that's the tent. And so Adam says, well, you know, God, you made that woman, and she caused me to do this. And the woman Eve begins to blame the serpent for the temptation. But the reality is that their sin was a rebellion and rejection of the commandment of God. And with that came the cursing. Verse 16, and so to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he will rule over you. You see, Eve tried to go out on her own. She's going to do her own thing. And the result was, now in pain you will bring forth children, and you're going to serve your husband. And there was Adam. In the 17th verse, he said, because you have indeed heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Can you imagine how Adam must have felt when they were removed from the garden? Every time he plowed a field and he felt the sun scorching his back and the sweat and the thorns and the thistles. Listen to me, young people. One foolish choice can forever change your life. It doesn't mean you can't be forgiven. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I understand that. But one foolish choice can forever change your life. Two young people in a car on the way home from a senior banquet in Creed, Colorado, died because of alcohol. One foolish choice. Whether it's alcohol or a moment of promiscuity, or whether it's the lie, or whether it's the word of bitterness, whatever it is, sin can forever change everything, can change your life. And sin can turn blessings into cursings. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. But not only that, but sin changes life into death. In the second chapter, it says in verse 9 again, out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the midst of that garden was the tree of life. And there was the man and his wife to do nothing but to enjoy the perfect fellowship that they had with God. Imagine enjoying God's creation and time to talk with God and time for God to talk with them. But in the third chapter, beginning in verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. And the Lord, so he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. No more to enjoy this place of perfect fellowship with God. You see, God gave a law. In the 17th verse of the second chapter, Verses 16 and 17, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die.'" And God was not bluffing. I understand what it's like as a parent. It's hard to be consistent sometimes. If you do that one more time, you're going to get a spanking. Johnny knows he's bluffing. He's got it all figured out. He's going to try you. How many times have I told you don't do that? If you do that one more time, I'm going to get up. How many times have we done that and failed to be consistent? But God wasn't bluffing. God commanded the man. In fact, I would suggest to you that in the beginning, all the way to the end, we find that common theme. God commanded the man. God had a law. But Adam and Eve didn't listen. And now every generation makes the same foolish choice. And it brings about the same result. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God. Now Adam lived to be 930 years old. But Adam was banished from fellowship and separated from God, the man and his wife. It wasn't long after that that Cain slew Abel. And thus there was the downward spiral of the moral fiber of man. But what's interesting about that is that even in God's pronouncement of curse, there is a glimmer of hope. In fact, we find that theme and that thread also throughout Scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There was Noah. And God, it grieved him that he had made man, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And there is this interesting statement that is made in the giving of the Ten Commandments in the 20th chapter of Exodus in verse 5. He says, "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands and to those who love me and keep my commandment." I'm thankful that God is still a God of mercy. Thus, in the third chapter of Genesis, in the 15th verse, there is this promise. Genesis 3:15. When God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." God promised that He would deliver a crushing blow to the serpent, and by it, He would offer man hope, even in paradise. Now, how does God's book end? Turn with me to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. In Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter of the Bible, I begin reading with verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And then they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever." Paradise lost is now paradise restored. And there is access to the tree of life. And in the 14th verse of the same chapter, God gave this promise: "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter through the gates into the city." Sin changed everything, but it did not change the power of God to offer the victory because of His Son. What about your soul? Are your robes washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you come to Jesus for forgiveness and for hope and for mercy? The terms of God are quite simple. Believe in Him. And based upon that faith, come with penitent heart, a desire to change and make Jesus the Lord of your life, and be buried with Him in baptism, and you can have a new life. God promises that through His Son. If you wish that today, if there's anything that we can do today to assist you in making sure that your life is right with God, we welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come. We stand and sing. I am born.